Thanks to everyone for coming out this Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, and thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. You're invited to correspond with us, give us your feedback and comments by emailing us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class online, and we do a membership class on the first Sunday of every month up in Salt Lake City also. We'd like to thank those that have become members, because we couldn't do what we do without your help and without your support. This is going to be fun, I can tell. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk to you about having the confidence of a king. Too many people go through life intimidated, insecure. Everybody else is smarter than I am. Everybody else is brighter than I am, more good-looking, more talented than I am. And it's good to recognize the qualities of other people. It's good to celebrate other people. But let's not put other people on a pedestal and look down at ourselves. You are also someone to be celebrated. There's something great about you. You're talented, you're smart, you're attractive in your own ways. It's good to celebrate other people, but we're not supposed to be always celebrating and deferring to other people. You've heard it said, oh, you should see how beautiful my sister is. You should see how talented my coworker is. You should see what a great athlete my classmate is. He's a great football player. That's all fine, but we can't get so much caught up in how great other people are that we lose sight of how great we are ourselves. You're good at something others are not. They may have all kinds of abilities, but there are things that you can do that they can't do. They also have their faults. They also have their weaknesses, just like you do. It's fine to say they're great as long as you can follow it up by saying, hey, I'm great too. Let's not be intimidated by others' gifts. Be confident in who you are. I heard a story about a mayor of a small town, who's riding in the annual parade in a fancy car with his wife. And as the parade made its way along, they came past a garage station that was run by his wife's former boyfriend. So he said to her, and an aside, he said, aren't you glad you married me instead of the guy that's running the gas station? And she said right away, without missing a beat, if I'd have married the guy that's running the gas station, he would have been the mayor. We should think of ourselves as having royal blood, that God has crowned us with a crown of favor. If you had a crown on your head that weighed something and had jewels in it, you would always have your shoulders back, you would have a good posture, you would look people in the eye, you would always be conscious of that. So let's learn the art of thinking of an invisible crown always on our head. And when we get down and depressed and our self-esteem starts to drop a little bit, just remember that crown of favor, that crown of blessings that each and every one of us has on our heads. Hold our heads up high, put our shoulders back, walk, think, and speak and act confidently. Here's a secret. People are going to treat you the way that you present yourself. If you have a less than mentality, a subpar mentality, then people are going to treat you the way that you present yourself before them. If you're intimidated, you don't look them in the eye, you don't give them a strong, firm handshake, you kind of mumble your words and you don't speak up when you talk, you're communicating to them that I don't think that I'm very important. I'm not worth your time, your attention, and your respect. And guess what? You don't get their time, you don't get their attention, you don't get the respect. If our posture is bad and we're slumping and we have poor facial expressions, we're sending out these subconscious messages that I'm not proud of who I am. But however talented or successful or beautiful they are, we should learn the art of speaking clearly, enunciating, looking them in the eye, having a straight up posture. They are no more, no matter how good looking they are, how talented they are, or what kind of an aristocratic birth they have, they are no more a child of God than you are. Put it another way, you are no less a child of God than they are. Think, I'm determined, I'm secure, I'm proud of who I am. Much of our low self-esteem stems from the fact that we don't really know who we are. If you ever raise horses or llamas or cows or anything like that, you know they have vaults where they keep seeds of particularly strong horses and cows and llamas, particularly intelligent, particularly aristocratic, particularly blue-blooded. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Bija Pradapita, this unlimited Lord of millions of universes, who is defined as having all strength, all wealth, all beauty, all knowledge, and all humility, he says, I am the seed-giving Father of all living beings. So each and every one of us comes from that seed of the unlimitedly beautiful, powerful, strong, and intelligent Supreme Personality of God. So we shouldn't go around thinking of ourselves as less than, as subpar, as not up to the mark. I'm not saying we should go around arrogantly thinking that we're better than everyone else, but I am saying that you should not think of yourself as being less than anybody else. This is Prabhupada. He's the founder of our Hare Krishna movement. He came to America in 1965 at the age of 70. He passed away at the age of 82 in 1977. Now, just look at how he carries himself. I mean, he was probably 5'3". He came to America having gotten a free ticket on a steamship. He had two heart attacks on the way over. He only had $7 with him because at that time that was all the money you could take out of India. And he didn't know anyone in America. He was going to a completely foreign culture which valued meat eating, LSD, free sex, marijuana. And he was going to preach against all those things. He was going to try to get people to adopt a higher lifestyle. Now, what are the odds? What are the odds? Is that a situation that nourishes confidence? You know, nobody would have given him a 21-to chance, 100-to-1 chance, 1,000-to-1 chance, 1,000,000-to-1 chance. And yet, look at him. Does that look like a man that looks intimidated by the task ahead of him? Does that look like a man who's saying, I'm too old, or I'm too sick, or I'm too poor, or I don't have the right connections? No, because he knows he has all the connections he needs in the person of the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Lord. And when he was coming within sight of Boston Harbor, remember he had two heart attacks. He'd been living on the boat. And he sees Boston Harbor and this whole continent that he's going to go to the first time. He writes a poem. He says, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't see a way. But my dear Lord, you have sent me here. You have placed me here. So I know that I wouldn't be here if you didn't have a plan. And I know that if you have a plan, you have the means of accomplishment. You're going ahead of me, making crooked ways straight. You're bringing the right people across my path. So he was supremely confident in a situation which warranted absolutely no confidence whatsoever. And it wasn't confidence in himself. You go to Barnes & Noble or Borders, and there's all these self-improvement books about how you should have confidence in yourself. There was a fad for a while called The Secret. The secret was to put out as much positive energy as you could, and whatever positive energy you put out, that would come to be. There's only one little problem with all that. That's okay if you're God, and in fact, that's exactly what God does. But if you're not God, you're not in control. You're not in control. You know, there's two boxers in the ring, they're both putting out positive energy. How does that work out, you know? The one that's more positive, the other wins, or the one that's strong and the other? I don't exactly know how that works out. So when you tell people, be confident in yourself, be confident in your abilities and your powers, that's kind of misleading them, because we don't have a great amount of abilities, we don't have a great amount of power, and although we'd like to think so, we don't have really any control at all. So confidence shouldn't really be based on our own individual selves. But when you're backed up by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you've taken care, and this may take a little research, a little bit of patience, a little bit of insight, but before we launch out in a career, before we launch out in a family, before we launch out in vocational terms, we might want to just determine as best we can, based on scripture and great saints and sages, what is God's purpose in this world? We might just want to think about lining up our life, our purpose, with God's purpose. Because if you do that, then you can be supremely confident. That God wants this and this and this done in the world. I'm allowing myself, I'm submitting myself to be His instrument. And whatever I have, He will preserve and sharpen that. And whatever I lack, He will make up for the difference. With God fighting your battles for you, and with you as an instrument in His purpose and fulfilling His will in the world, you can have all the confidence in the world. And here's a 70-year-old man from India in poor health with no friends and no money, and he sparked a worldwide spiritual revolution. There are over 500 Hare Krishna temples all over the world now. So always think of ourselves not as springing from matter, not as springing from earth, air, fire, water, not being byproducts of matter, but being byproducts of spirit, being sons and daughters of the Almighty Lord. And think of ourselves as being put here with the purpose of being a light to other people. I mean, we all love our spouses, we love our children, hopefully we love our co-workers, and we want to do the best that we can for them. But the best that you can do for them is beyond providing them an education, a roof, transportation, and basic necessities. The best thing that you can do for them is to awaken your own eternal spiritual life, make your own life purposeful, and some or other be a light to others. Be a guide to the eternal spiritual world where life goes on without end. That will be doing the best service to your wife and to your children and to your co-workers. Our ultimate family is in the spiritual world. Our ultimate home is in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what family other people come from. Rothschilds, Carnegies, Mellons. It doesn't matter what important people they know, what exalted circles they move in. Krishna is my father, I'm in his family, and he's the creator of millions and millions of universes, and he has crowned me with favor. So I'm going to carry myself like the royalty I am. I saw a television program one time where the Queen of England entered into a hall. And in this hall, there were Nobel laureates, supremely intelligent people. It's a little hard to carry on two conversations in the same room at the same time. There were also beautiful movie stars who had starred in blockbuster films. And there were business tycoons who had made billions and billions and billions of dollars. But when the Queen of England walked into the room, all attention turned to her. She acted like everybody was her best friend. She waved. She was perfectly at ease. She was totally confident. Now, her confidence didn't spring from anything that she'd done. Because there were people that had made more money than she did. There were people that had been in more movies than she had. There were people that had won more trophies and more Olympic gold and more accolades than she had. So her confidence didn't come from anything that she'd done, but her confidence came from knowing who she was. That for generations and generations and generations, it had been ingrained into them that we are royalty. We are not mediocre. We are not average. So when we are aware from day to day and moment to moment of who we are, or let me put it a better way, of whose we are, that will drive out all intimidation, that will drive out all sense of inferiority. You don't have to be in the natural, the most talented, the most beautiful, the most successful, but when you know who you are, you can walk in any room, smile, wave, as if everybody is your best friend, because you're not crowned by people, you're crowned by Almighty God. Now, what would we think if the President of the United States, who represents all of us, went into a world meeting where the leaders of all the countries were present, and he was slumped in his shoulders, his head was down, he was mumbling, he looked all down and depressed. What kind of a service would he be doing the people of the United States of America? Even if he doesn't feel like it, in his position, he has got to exude confidence. If he doesn't exude confidence, then everybody, all the other world leaders are going to think that these Americans, they're weak, they're knockovers, we can take advantage of them. Even if he doesn't feel confident, he's got to some or other project confidence. In the Bhagavad Gita, as you know, Arjuna initially lost all of his confidence because he was making calculations self-centeredly. He had a lot of ability, a lot of natural talent. He was a great warrior. But he faced insurmountable odds. He faced Bhishma, Dronacharya, Karna, who on any given day could beat him. He faced a larger armor than his. Duryodhana, the bad guy, had 18 divisions. Arjuna only had 11. And Arjuna and his brothers had just come out of 13 years of exile in the forest. They weren't getting a good military training program. They weren't getting good nutrition. They had been living hand to mouth. They were weakened and disoriented. So in the face of all that, and one more issue is that many of the wrongdoers that were facing him in a confrontational mood were his teachers, his cousins, his brothers. And nobody wants to fight them. Nobody wants to kill those who you owe a debt of mentorship too. So he was thinking, if I do this, then this will happen. If I do that, then that will happen. And he became totally unmanned, totally confused. Krishna began to pour into him the 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita. And basically Krishna is saying, I'm in charge here. Whatever you decide, these wrongdoers, these miscreants, they're not going home tonight. My purpose in being here by your side as your chariot driver is to ensure that the forces of light, the forces of good, triumph over the forces of darkness and the forces of evil. Now, you can be an instrument in that, but if you choose not to be an instrument, it's not going to make a bit of difference. They're not going home tonight. I'm going to make sure that they lay down their lives on this battlefield. So at the end, after hearing all this, Arjuna completely turned around, and in spite of the fact that they were superior warriors, they were better equipped, they were better nourished, they outnumbered him, he became supremely confident because Krishna was by his side. He said, Nashta moha shmitir labda tat prasada maya stijo shmin gita sandeha karishya seva chanam tava. He says, after hearing you, my illusion is now dissipated. Now I remember who I am. 700 verses, a half an hour ago, I thought I was a Pandava. I thought I was a warrior. I thought I was their cousin. I thought I was their student. Now I know that I don't have to be crowned by them. I don't have to define myself by them. I am anointed, I am crowned, I am produced from you, dear Lord Krishna, the Almighty God. And if you're for me, who can be against me? If you're fighting my battles, nobody can stand against me. And in this way, he said, I regain my memory, I regain my consciousness based on this one principle of remembering who we are and from whom it is we come. And if we line ourselves up with the Lord of millions and millions of universes' purposes, no force on heaven and earth, no terrorist, no drive-by gang member, no disease, nothing can take us out. Nothing can take us down. This is what Sanjaya concluded, basically the concluding words of the Bhagavad Gita. Wherever there's Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there's Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So here's the ultimate self-improvement formula. You notice he doesn't say, wherever there is Arjuna, there will be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. Wherever there is Colin, this is the problem with self-confidence, you see. Wherever there's Colin, there will be extraordinary opulence, victory, power, and morale. Wherever there's Jai Krishna, there will be extraordinary victory, opulence, power, and morale. No, he's saying, wherever there is the devotee, and wherever there is Krishna, then when you get Krishna or God in the mix, then all these good things are generated. So make sure, and this is my plea to you, when you have decisions to make, and some of the biggest decisions of our life, we don't realize how big they are at the time we're making them. We look back 20 years and, wow, I had no idea that that was as big a decision as it was. So there is no little decision in effect. So when you make a decision, and beware that there's very few decisions that are really little decisions, work God into the mix. Do yourself a favor. Do your wife a favor. Do your kids a favor. Do your students a favor. Do your co-workers a favor. Do the world a favor. Do your generation a favor. Work Krishna into the mix. Don't just strike out capriciously and whimsically with so-called self-confidence. But work Krishna into the mix, and then be confident that if you do what you're doing in the association and with the blessings and favor of the Almighty Lord, then you can absolutely 100% take it from me, read my lips, as well as Bible, Quran, Bhagavad Gita, Guru Granth Sahib, and everything that every great saint and sage has ever said, along with being confirmed by the Supreme Lord Himself, there will be extraordinary opulence, victory, power, and morality. Just don't forget the Krishna part. And just a little note here. Before the battle in those days, just before hostilities were engaged in, they used to blow their conch shell, kind of like a, you know, I don't know what you call it, like a chest beating ritual. So Duryodhana and his vast army, strong, well fed, well equipped, they blew their conch shells. Boo! 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 And it said it was an uproarious sound. It vibrated on the heaven and the earth. Never before had such an intimidating sound been made, vibrated by such a huge, powerful, well-equipped army. But Arjuna and Krishna, they didn't get in the least bit intimidated. They came right back at them, and when they blew their conch shells, it communicated, because they were completely confident, because they saw themselves as victorious. They saw themselves as well able. When they blew their conch shells, immediately the bad guys understood that they were dead. They immediately understood that. That though they had a superior force, superior soldiers, their days were over. They knew that they were doomed because they had abandoned the path of righteousness. Now here's a pretty confident cat, wouldn't you say? It reminds me of that biblical saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. There's about 150 German shepherds there, and he's just strutting right along in front of them like that. If you know who you are, and if you line yourself up, there can be 1,000 enemies to the right of you, 1,000 enemies to the left of you, and nobody will touch a hair on your feline head. So stand tall, be confident. Even if you don't feel confident, act confidently, the feelings will come. This is a secret too. A lot of people in this day and age, I want to feel it before I act it. Well, you're going to wait a long time before you feel it. If Arjuna had waited before he felt confident, he would have never acted. But Krishna is telling him, don't act on what you feel, don't act on what your senses and your mind are telling you, but act on what's true. Act on what you know. So you may not feel confident, but if you act confident, then the feelings will come. Don't wait for the feelings to come before you act, but act first as if you're confident, as if you have royal blood in you, as if you have the seeds of greatness in you, and then that will be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Krishna will protect us and maintain us. Actually, he's already given protection and maintenance to everyone. That is a fact. But in Maya, we think that we are protecting ourselves. Those are words from our spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And here he is, even at the time of death. Even at the time of death, Krishna is coming to take him personally to the spiritual world. Death, what does it say? O grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? For someone who's got God in the center of their life. We cannot wait for the feelings to come. We have to create the feelings by acting on them. There is immense potential in each and every one of you. There could not be potential considering who created you and who you came from. The greatest power in the universe is within you. God has his own transcendental abode in the spiritual self-effulgent world, millions and millions of miles away, but he has also expanded himself to be fully present in the heart of each and every living being. We've got the Lord of millions of universes in each and every one of our hearts. So how much potential is there? But if we act in fear instead of faith, we'll never discover the treasures that Krishna has put inside of us. It's easy to focus on everything that we're not. The trick is to focus on everything that we can become. Krishna promises in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana pariyapasate. In fulfilling my purposes, whatever they have, I will preserve it. Whatever they lack, I will make up for them. When you don't see a way, Krishna will make a way. When enemies come against you, Krishna will fight your battles for you. Some of you are celebrating other people all the time, but God is saying, this is your time. He's about to release an opportunity which can thrust you to a whole new level. This wouldn't happen in the natural. We all have these minds, and these minds are very negative. They're rooted, they're mired in matter and limitations and boundaries. That's why we chant mantras. Man from the Sanskrit is the same as mind, and tra means to deliver. So we take this earthbound negative mind, which says, who do you think you are? You can never do that. You don't have what it takes. And we expose it to the repetitive chanting of the names of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in due course of time, not immediately, but for the steady practitioner, the old things, the negative things, the defeated things are sloughed off and they're replaced by the positive things. That one gets a vision that my future is going to be much, much greater than my past. One comes to transcend with the additional shakti or power of God on his lips, the limitations of matter, and then vistas open up which previously one could never even imagine. God breathes in our direction when we chant his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Impossible things all of a sudden become possible. The Lord opens doors that no man can shut. We are enabled to accomplish dreams that we never thought possible. And when those opportunities come, don't you dare recoil in fear. Approach them, embrace them, expect them in faith rather than fear. Get ready. We're well able. We're children of the Most High. We're equipped. We're empowered. We can do what God calls us to do. For the spiritualist, confidence is like the fuel in the jet plane. You can have a jet plane. It's very, very sophisticatedly engineered with all kinds of gizmos and gadgets. But it's just tons of metal on that runway, which has no value, no good at all, unless and until you put fuel in the tanks. Once you put fuel in the tanks, that thing can take off, can go 700 miles an hour at 5 miles above the surface of the earth. But without fuel, it's absolutely useless. So confidence is the fuel by which we go to places that we could never even imagine. We need to learn to sell ourselves better, not only to other people, but we need to sell ourselves to ourselves too. Some of you are too timid, downplaying your abilities, discounting what you can do. Be your own resume by the way you hold your shoulders, by the way you carry your head, by the way you walk, by the way you think, by the way you dress. Be your own best advocate. When others see that you believe in yourself, they'll be more likely to open the doors of opportunity. I heard about this football game. It was crosstown teams that had a long-standing rivalry. It was the last game of the season, and the state championship was at stake. So they went down the field, and one team scored. And then the other team took the ball back, and they scored. And it went back and forth and back and forth. And when the end of regulation time came, they were in a tie. The game went in overtime. So the home team got the ball and they drove down the field, but they were stopped. And then the coach had to make a decision. Do we punt it away? Do we play it safe? Or we try to kick a field goal? Now the problem with kicking a field goal was that 2 field goals had already been attempted earlier in the game and missed. This field goal was going to be longer than the other 2 that he missed. Not only that, but a wind had kicked up and it was blowing against the kicker. So the coach wanted to confer with the field goal kicker to see what he thought. But he couldn't find him anywhere in the sidelines. He looked out on the field, and there he was, lining up the kick. Lining up the kick with supreme confidence. So the coach thought, well, if he's confident, then I'm confident too. And he gave him the nod. He sure enough, he kicked that ball right through the uprights. The crowd went wild. They won the game. They won the state championship. And they carried him off the field in his arms. Now, what does this tell us? Some of us have made mistakes in the past. Some of us have failed. The question is, are you still in the game? God's not concerned with the mistakes that you made in the past. He's not concerned with the failures that you've got behind you. He wants to know one thing. He's asking one question. Are you still in the game? Are you ready to go out there on the field and try again? Because if you are, if you have that never say die, bounce back mentality, you're going to get the favor of God. You're going to get the blessings of God, and he's going to take you places that you could never, ever even imagine. So don't worry about failures. Don't worry about shortcomings. Don't worry about mistakes. Just ask yourself, have I sidelined myself? Have I taken myself out? Have I told myself that this is as far as I go in life? Or am I still looking for new opportunities? Am I still living expectantly for God to breathe in my direction? Do I still think that my future is going to be greater than my past? It's a new day. The power of the Most High is in me. When you rise up, like that, with confidence, you put fuel in your jet. You never know where it's going to take you. Living with confidence means we never lose our poise. Even if we feel fear on the inside, we don't show fear. At that job interview, we don't admit nervousness. We emanate strength. Fake it if you have to. Faith it if you have to. We're not acting on what we feel, but what we know. God would not have put you there. He would not have given you the opportunity if He had not already equipped you. We may feel fear, but we act strong. We may feel intimidated, but we're going to act confident. We may feel unqualified, but we're going to act like we're well able. And every one of us, every one of you is going to face very, very insurmountable difficulties in your life. That medical report that doesn't sound good. That job challenge. That relational difficulties that you're having in your marriage. You get embroiled in a legal battle. It may tend to make us feel fearful and nervous. But let's not show fear, knowing that the Creator of the universe is still on the throne. He's still in control of my life. And if He be for me, who be against me? Get in the habit of looking people in the eyes, speaking with a strong voice, sell yourself. It's good to celebrate other people, but you need to start by celebrating yourself. If you'll shake off all the intimidation, the insecurity, and rise up with confidence, knowing who you are, the Creator of all the universes will breathe in your direction. And when He does, you will overcome every obstacle, defeat every enemy, fulfill every dream. You will become everything that Krishna has created you to be, and you will accomplish everything that He intended for you to accomplish. And if you'd like to chant with me, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.